Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. Our phone line's open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we got a lot to talk about today. And this is Good Friday. And we're going to talk about why it's called that as well. And some other things. And if anybody's got a question or something to call in with, we'll probably take that as well. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to somebody today. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be with you today, and we call this day Good Friday. And I was listening to somebody on another station earlier today, and they said that this is simultaneously the most somber and the most joyous weekend on the Christian calendar. And that's because Good Friday, people are commemorating the crucifixion of Christ, and then on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So both the most somber, the crucifixion, and the most joyous, the resurrection. And so we're going to look at a couple of those things there along with that. And, you know, they call it Good Friday. And I always wondered as a kid why they call it Good Friday if that's the day that Christ was crucified. But as you got looking into the Bible, the question then becomes, was Jesus really crucified on Friday, or was it a different day? After all, in Matthew chapter 12 in verses 38 through 39, he's challenged by the Pharisees to give him a sign, and he responds to them saying, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, the problem there is that Jesus said he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's talking about when he's crucified and he's buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Now, count with me for a moment. Let's assume that he's like most people tell us, that he was crucified on Friday and he rose on Sunday. And we'll talk about some of these things here again in a minute, but let's count them up here for a minute. And people say, well, you count parts of days, count as a whole day, so we'll give it that. So we have Friday. If he's crucified on Friday afternoon, dies on the cross Friday afternoon, that's one day, Friday. And then he's in the grave Friday night, that's one night, so we got one day and one night. And then he's in the grave Saturday, that's 2 days and one night. Then he's in the grave Saturday night, that's 2 days and two nights. Then he's in the grave Sunday morning, and he rises from the grave at sunrise, as most people observe it. And that gives us 3 days and two nights. And he said he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Where's the third night? You think about that? You got 3 days and two nights. I don't know how you can squeeze an extra night in there. You can't. But we're going to look at a couple of things here. And part of the problem comes, somebody asked me one time, well, why do people celebrate it on Friday? Well, it's a misunderstanding of something that John clears up. And that is that when Jesus was on the cross in John chapter 19, the Bible says that they wanted to get the people who were crucified off the crosses before the Sabbath. And that Sabbath, people assume, was the weekly Sabbath. But it says it here in John chapter 19, verse 31, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation," now that's a clue right there, "that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day." And that gives us something else to think about. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Now, the thing that happens on the cross and crucifixion is people are slowly suffocating to death. They're hanging there by their arms, and they can breathe in, but they can't breathe out. And then they're forced to push up with their legs to where they can exhale, and then they sink back down, and it's a cycle. And I'm not going to get into too much of that right at the moment, but it's a slow process of asphyxiation as they hang there on the cross, and their lungs begin to fill with fluid and things of that nature, and gradually they lose the ability to maintain breathing, and eventually they die. So when they break the legs, the people on the cross will actually die much faster than they would normally. And normally, depending on the health of the person, how good a shape they were in, and how much they were beaten and maltreated before being crucified, they might last for hours, even a day or two or more on the cross. So they wanted them to be off because it was the preparation, and the Sabbath was coming, which was as John tells us, a high Sabbath. That tells us it's not the weekly Sabbath, and the preparation gives us a clue. This is the day of the preparation for the Passover. Jesus was crucified on the cross at the time that they were preparing the Passover lambs that were being killed and then readied for the Passover dinner. The Passover Sabbath started when the sun went down that week. So this is not the weekly Sabbath. And I've got a caller calling in that we'll get to in just a moment, there had to be a Sabbath day, a preparation day for the Passover, then the Passover, and then following the Passover, there was another day in the scriptures before when they went to the tomb to try and anoint the body. They were going to do that. They bought spices and stuff to anoint the body, and then they rested for the weekly Sabbath, and that's where they were going on Sunday morning early. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Jesus was already gone. Actually, when the angels rolled the stone away, they said to come and see the place where the Lord lay, and the tomb was empty. So Jesus was gone before the sun rose on Sunday morning. And if Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, and I'll just run through this real quick. If he was crucified on Wednesday, and that would have been the day of the preparation for the Passover, then the Passover would have started Wednesday at sunset, and then he would have been off the cross for that high Sabbath, already in the tomb. So he would have been in the tomb Wednesday night. And then Thursday, the Passover continued, Passover high Sabbath continued until Thursday at sunset. So that would be one night, one day, Wednesday night, Thursday during the day. Then Thursday night and Thursday, I'm sorry, Friday, yeah, Thursday night, Friday during the day. This would now be the day before the weekly Sabbath, which would start Friday night, and then we'd have Friday night and then Saturday during the day. So that would give us Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. That's three nights. That would give us Thursday during the day, Friday during the day, Saturday during the day. That's 3 days and three nights. And you say, wait a minute, didn't Jesus rise on Sunday? No, the Bible never says that. The Bible says Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Say, well, isn't Sunday the first day of the week? Well, yet it is and it isn't. The first day of the week starts at sunset on Saturday and runs until sunset on Sunday. The Jews kept track of time and the days of the week differently than what we do. We have Sunday from midnight until midnight as the first day of the week on our calendar. The Jewish calendar, the days start with sunset because in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens, or created the earth, he created it on the evening and the morning, the Bible says, was the first day. The evening and morning was the second day. So they go from evening sunset until sunset the next day to count their days. So the first day of the week started Saturday when the sun set and ended Sunday when the sun set again. The second day of the week began Sunday at sunset. So Jesus was risen on the first day of the week. I believe it was after the sunset, just after the sunset on Saturday evening, because when the women came to the tomb and were wondering who was going to roll the stone away, the angel rolled the stone away, and the tomb was already empty, so Jesus was already gone. All the great Easter plays and pageants that show the stone dramatically being rolled away and Jesus striding triumphantly out of the tomb, that's not scriptural. Jesus was already gone. They said, "See the place where the Lord lay," past tense. He used to be there, but he's not there anymore. And so the stone was open not to let Jesus out, but to let us in so that we could see that he already rose from the dead. Well, we're going to touch on a couple more things in relation to this, but we've got Jeremiah calling in here this afternoon. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program today.
Have a good Friday.
Yeah, well, it's Good Friday, and like I was saying, I think Jesus had already been in the tomb, and he was waiting for sunset on Saturday so that he could be in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and then up from the grave he arose with a mighty victory over his foes. But thanks for calling today.
Hey, I'm just sitting here drinking a cup of coffee.
There you go.
Did you hear anything about on the news? I've seen somewhere on the internet that they discovered between two planets, they discovered a balloon with hydrogen and oxygen floating over in the solar system.
A balloon with hydrogen and oxygen. Well, no, I haven't heard about that one. There's a lot of stuff floating around, a balloon probably would not have made it out into space to float around like that. It would have to be some kind of solid, rigid vessel.
It had water in it. It had water in it, they said.
Well, hydrogen and oxygen would make water, but we're going to kind of get back to our topic, though, on Easter and Good Friday here. But appreciate that right there. We'll pick up on something like that another time, I guess. But one of the things I wanted to touch on here, we're talking about, and again, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. But wanted to mention a couple of things here that's kind of interesting when we look at the crucifixion of Christ. There's a particular time when Jesus was on the cross, and you know, we talk about the things that Jesus said, and you got to remember every word that he spoke when he was on the cross was a tremendous exertion. And there was two thieves that were crucified in fulfillment of the scripture with him on either side of him, and both of them initially mocked Jesus. But one of them, while he watched Jesus, realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he turned to Jesus, and actually he defended Jesus to the other thief, and then he turned to Jesus in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And I find this interesting. Jesus said unto him, in the next verse, it says, "And Jesus said unto him," in verse 43, "Verily," now verily just is a word for truly, "verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now this is an interesting statement. Now, when we read the Bible, of course, the English here has punctuation, and the punctuation wasn't in the original languages, although the need for the punctuation was there. It's just the way that the original Greek and the original Hebrew is written, they could tell from the context and things where the punctuation is. Just like when people talk, you know, you can tell, I don't have to say, I'm going to say something, comma, this is what I'm going to say, comma, and then I'll say something else. I don't have to enunciate punctuation. It comes from the context and the way of speaking. And there's things in the original languages that clue us into where the punctuation should be. And Jesus was giving him a promise because he had turned to him. He called him Lord. He had repented. He initially mocked Christ and railed on him, and then he realized who he was, and he actually defended Christ, and in fact he said to the other thief, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our sins, but this man had done nothing amiss. There's a couple things that this thief is saying here. He is saying, I understand that I'm a sinner, and I understand that I deserve to die because of my sins. He's recognizing some biblical truths that Paul later spells out for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, he talks about the wages of sin is death. Well, he understands this, and then he turns to Jesus, and we can see the repentance where he had turned from his ways, and he turns to Jesus, in this case literally, but also spiritually. He turned to Jesus, and he said, Lord. And he called him Lord. He realized that Jesus was his creator and that Jesus was his savior. And he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He looked to him for salvation. He admitted his sin. He realized he needed to die for his sin. And he realized that Jesus could save him. And so he turned to him for salvation. That's what we need to do as individuals as well. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to turn to Christ, and we need to implore him to forgive us of our sin. We need to seek his mercy for our sin. And that's what he did. And Jesus granted that plea for salvation when he said, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, it's interesting. It says here, verily I say unto thee. Now, there's a comma there. And then after that, he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, which means you have salvation right now. And when you die, you're going to be with me in paradise right now. It's not somewhere off in the future. It's not some possibility. It's a certainty. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, somebody said, well, what if the comma should have come after the word today? And I thought about that, and I said, well, let's put the comma after today and see what the sentence says, okay? Now, here it is. Jesus says to him, verily I say unto thee, comma, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, that's what we have written here in the King James Bible, and it makes perfect sense. Here's a promise. You have salvation. You will be with me when we die. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And so then he says this. Let's put the comma after the word today. Let's see what it says if you do it that way. Verily I say unto thee today, comma, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now you see what that comma does when you put it after today? It changes the statement, shalt thou be with me in paradise, to a question. You would have to then put a question mark at the end of that verse instead of a period. See, if the comma comes before today, then he's making a statement. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But if the comma comes after the today, then he's asking a question. Now, it's a question that it could be a rhetorical question. Here you've been railing against me, mocking me, making fun of me, and all of this. And I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? Meaning it's a rhetorical question that means no. And just like, you know, somebody is giving you a hard time, and then they want to share something that you're eating. You say, you've been giving me such a hard time. I'm telling you right now, am I going to share this with you? Well, the answer obviously is no. It's a rhetorical question that gives a negative answer. And that's what it would have been. Or the other possibility, and it's still a question, is I'm saying to you today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? Meaning, I don't know. It's a question of ignorance. So putting the comma after the word today demands that the rest of that verse become a question, either a vindictive question where Jesus is telling the thief on the cross, listen, Buster, after the way you treated me, do you think you're going to be with, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be with me in paradise. You think you're going to be with me in paradise? You know, the obvious answer being no. And or it's a ignorant a question of ignorance saying, shalt thou, I'll say to you today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? I don't know. Your guess might be as good as mine. Well, I don't think the Lord was being vindictive here in any sense of the word. So I would reject that type of an answer. And I certainly don't think that the Lord was being ignorant here, not knowing what was going to happen to this man, because after all, he's God in the flesh. He knew what was that man's heart. He knew what was going to happen to him. And so grammar dictates that the comma must occur before the word today. And then it makes perfect sense. He's saying to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a statement of fact. Today, when we die, today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. And that's a statement that's that goes hand in hand with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And that's an important statement. We need to understand that. And there are those that would try to take that away. They don't know what happens when people die. They think they sleep in the grave for some reason, which doesn't make sense when Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The thief on the cross was about to, his soul and spirit were about to be separated from his body, and he was concerned what was going to happen when he died. And Jesus didn't say, today you're going to be sleeping in the ground. He didn't say a question of ignorance or a question of vindictiveness. He was giving him a promise, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that becomes confusing to people. But remember, this thief on the cross is at the end of the time of the dispensation of the law, and when people died prior to the cross, prior to the resurrection, they died and they went into the grave, they went into hell, which in Revelation chapter 20, at the last judgment, hell gives up the dead. These are the unsaved that are in it. They stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And then finally, death and hell itself are cast into the lake of fire, where all of those that had not trusted Christ as their Savior go for all eternity into the lake of fire. So hell clearly is different than the lake of fire. It's cast into the lake of fire. You don't cast something into itself. I can't take a cup and cast it into itself. I can throw it into a sink. I can throw it into a drawer. I can throw it into a bucket, but I can't throw it into itself. It's got to go into something larger. And we know in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4, kind of hurrying here for time's sake, that when Jesus died on the cross, Paul tells us that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. Now, we'll probably be talking about this a bit at our Friday night Bible study tonight, and we talked about a little bit in our morning service, or I'm sorry, our morning Bible study at our church this past Sunday on Palm Sunday, I'm sure we'll be talking about this again. But prior to the cross, prior to that final payment being made, if you want to look at it this way, think of it like layaway plan. Some of you remember layaway. You didn't have the full payment, so you made a down payment, and it would be set on the shelf with your name on it, and then when you made that final payment, you went back, you got your ticket, you took it back to the layaway counter, you showed it to them, they went back, your name was on that item, your ticket says paid in full, and you took that item home with you. And in a sense, that's what happened in the Old Testament. People died trusting in the payment that would be made, the down payment, I guess you could call it, the lambs that were sacrificed, the various sacrifices that were made in anticipation of the Lamb of God that would be slain, which was Jesus Christ on that day that he was crucified. He was slain when the Passover lambs were being slain, just like he was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger at the same time that Passover lambs were being born and wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger type affair to be certified for Passover. It was the same thing with Christ. And then he was crucified when those lambs were being killed for Passover. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And if you'll turn to him like the thief on the cross did and recognize your sin and the fact that your sin deserves the wages of sin, which is death, you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can say, Lord, remember me. And you can put your faith in him as your Savior, and not your church, not your good works, not your sacrifices, not in anything that you can do. It's the gift of God, lest any should boast. It's that gift of salvation that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood when he died upon the cross. And then 3 days and three nights later, he rose again victorious over sin and death. And we have that promise of salvation. We're out of time. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.